Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. We'll have the latest on what's happening to the Ukrainian refugees.
We also, of course, should help humanitarian organizations.
WBGO's Scott Pringle reports on the new subvariant of Omicron and how it's impacting New York City.
Overall case numbers have been relatively stable, with some increase in the last few days.
Lawmakers are hoping to protect you from fraud in the cryptocurrency transaction world.
This bill will arm consumers with the confidence and information they need.
I'll chat with the executive director of the New Jersey Children's Foundation about a new online tool for parents.
What's needed here is better information for families to sort of navigate the menu of options that are available to them.
And the president of Essex County College joins us to talk about the institution's recent successes and expansion. All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. While Europe is welcoming Ukrainian refugees, in the near term, the U.S. might not see many refugees. WBGO's Kenneth Burns explains.
Barbara Franz, a political science professor at Rider University, says most of the Ukrainian refugees want to stay in Europe because at this time, they still expect to return home. That's different than when states like New Jersey and others welcomed thousands of Afghan refugees after the U.S. left that country. Franz says Americans and Afghans had a closer relationship because they fought side by side for two decades against the Taliban.
There's a very, very different relationship between many Afghans and American soldiers.
With the European Union stepping up to assist Ukrainians fleeing war, Franz says the Garden State's role at the moment is to continue to show solidarity with Ukraine.
Through peace rallies, through flying the Ukrainian flag and similar symbolic acts. We also, of course, should help humanitarian organizations.
She adds that New Jersey should remain open to helping refugees resettle here should Russia's invasion drag on. Kenneth Burns, WBGO News.
A subvariant of Omicron is causing some concern in certain sectors in New York City. WBGO's Scott Pringle has more.
Health officials say the subvariant is making up more and more cases in New York City. Dr. Celia Quinn with the city's health department estimates the subvariant makes up about 30% of the coronavirus cases in the city.
It has been increasing over the past several weeks. We've been seeing that. At the same time, the overall case numbers have been relatively stable, with some increase in the last few days.
The City Health Commissioner, Dr. Ashwin Vasan, says it does not appear to be more severe than Omicron, but maybe more transmissible.
I understand New Yorkers' concern, given where we've been over the last 2 years in successive waves, that rising cases in other parts of the world would lead to anxiety.
The city remains in a low-risk environment. There are no changes, though, to coronavirus restrictions. That means the mask mandate for pre-K students remains. Scott Pringle, WBGO News.
A New Jersey legislative committee has passed several bills that supporters say will protect consumers from fraud in cryptocurrency transactions. WBGO State House reporter Tennyson Donier has the latest.
The bills would create a regulatory framework for blockchain and virtual currency transactions using cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. It would also require anyone involved in digital asset business activities to obtain a license from the state. Middlesex County Assemblywoman Yvonne Lopez is the bill's primary sponsor. She says her bill is about keeping up with technology shifts and protecting consumers.
Other countries who are really, they're forward-thinking, they're moving forward this, they're legalizing it, they're requiring licenses. And I know that President Biden, I think early, last week, he put out an EO that he is going to begin to regulate cryptocurrency on a federal level. This bill will arm consumers with the confidence and information they need to enter the cryptocurrency space, obviously for those who can afford it, right? And also allow New Jersey to gain yet another business line in the innovation space.
The Assembly Science, Innovation, and Technology Committee also advanced a bill that would ban public officials from receiving NFTs and cryptocurrencies as a gift. Tennyson Donier, WBGO News.
New Jersey's Children's Foundation has launched My Schools Newark, an online platform and web app to provide parents with empowering free digital research as part of a tool, a one-stop shop with information for every school in Newark. And joining us on the WBGO Journal is Kyle Rosenkranz, the executive director of the New Jersey Children's Foundation. Kyle, great to meet you.
Great to meet you too, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Kyle, give us the background on New Jersey Children's Foundation, when it started, and its mission.
Yeah, New Jersey Children's Foundation was founded by myself 4 years ago. We're based in Newark, have been there for all those 4 years. Our goal is to promote a fact-based conversation about public education in Newark and across the state of New Jersey. And so we've contributed many projects throughout the years that helped to provide better information to stakeholders, the community, parents, and others about how the public school system is working, where it can be improved, and providing direct support to families in choosing schools, which is where this project slots in.
And I would imagine because of the coronavirus pandemic, it has made even more difficult for parents, teachers, and students, everybody to get on the same page and learning about the different districts because of all the hurdles. You want to talk about that?
Sure. And stepping back, even through the pandemic, Newark is a growing city. We've added over 10,000 students in the public school system over the last decade, and we've added more school choices. 7 new district schools, 5 expanded district schools, then about a dozen new charter schools just in the 4 years that my foundation has existed. What's needed here is better information for families to sort of navigate the menu of options that are available to them and that are a true asset to this great city. We wanted to simplify that process, enhance the process for families so that when they are ready to select the school that works best for their child, they have the best possible information at their fingertips.
That word information, tell us about exactly what information is included in this online platform and web app.
Well, it's a great tool. It allows you, much like you would if you were using Zillow to search for a home, it allows you to select by neighborhood what the school options are available to your child, what by grade level and by age of your student, which school options are available, not to mention extracurricular programs, special education programs, school uniform information. And then most importantly, there are many different application processes for every school in Newark. And so what this does is simplifies that process for a family. If they like a school and would like to apply to it, it provides a link to a website where they can apply to that school, as well as phone numbers and other contact information they may need to complete an application. It aims to sort of route people towards the proper application procedures they need to select the school they want.
Very simple question, Kyle. Why do you do this?
Well, in this area, there was no tool that existed anywhere on the web or in paper form that had the information on all 185 preschool, private district, parochial charter schools that exist if you are a parent located in Newark. And so for us, this is filling a much needed gap in the information available to parents. That's why we do this. We're just trying to help and provide better information in what is probably the single most important choice you may make as a parent, and that's choosing a school for your child.
What draws your attention to the education field and the passion to establish the New Jersey Children's Foundation 4 years ago?
Well, I'm a civil rights lawyer by training. I came to Newark first by going to Seton Hall Law School, and there I studied under people like Shavar Jeffries. I worked for Mayor Cory Booker when he first came to office and learned about the tremendous inequities that exist in our system, how New Jersey's largest city in Newark in many ways embodies that inequality that our state still struggles with. And it emboldened me to want to make a difference. So and when I looked around the world and I looked at the kind of history of the civil rights movement, it was in education that was sort of the tip of the spear to really level the playing field, promote equality and equity. And that need hasn't gone away. In fact, it just takes on many different forms. It changes over the years. So our organization is one of many that are aiming to sort of address educational inequity as it exists in Newark and in other parts of the state of New Jersey.
In your eyes, what do you see are some of the improvements over the 4 years since your organization was created?
Yeah, look, I think we have, like I said earlier, we have more choices for families, different types of schools, specialized schools in all 5 wards of the city. That's one market improvement. Another market improvement is just on student learning prior to the pandemic. We published a report called The New Baseline, and that baseline was from 2019 and the decade preceding it. And what we documented was, if you were a Black student in Newark, for example, you were four times more likely in 2019 than you were in 26 to attend a school that's doing better than the entire state of New Jersey. So beating New Jersey's best in the nation public school system, the Black students in Newark are four times more likely to find a school in their city that reaches that lofty benchmark. So we've seen progress in extending educational opportunity across race and class in this city. We are not there yet, however, and much work remains. That's why we're really committed to working with the district, working with schools all over the city to sort of continue that progress. But make no mistake, there was a lot of progress prior to COVID. The question today is, how are we going to dig out of this hole that we're in? Our students are coming to school with such tremendous needs beyond even education, and that is going to compound the inequities that existed before COVID. And it's really incumbent on all of us in the nonprofit sector, the government sector, to come together and contribute to that effort.
Give us a story or two, if you could, about some parent that you've talked to that's either frustrated or was looking for, you know, different aspects that really helped you mold this new online tool.
Yeah, when we spoke, we did a lot of work in this area. To me, it was a mission critical that anything we built was responsive to the needs of the community. And instead of following some standard protocols on how you engage the community, we wanted to be scientific. And so what we did was we brought in a best-in-class public survey firm and Global Strategy Group, and we asked them to not only poll a representative sample of Newarkers, including parents, we wanted them to also take focus groups of those parents to sit down with them and say, what do you need? What do you want? And what we found is represented in this tool. A lot of them said one place to go in order to find information about schools, instead of Googling around and catching what they might catch in a standard Google search. A lot of them said that they wanted more personalized customer service. So when they encounter a problem, our website has a Q&A feature. And over time, we anticipate maybe adding a chat feature and customer service functionality. But right now, there's somebody they can reach out to if they say, I don't understand how to apply to school X. Can you point me in the right direction? And those were the main things, was consolidation of information. And then we heard customer service were the two big priorities we've heard from multiple dozens, if not hundreds, of parents throughout our process here.
We're speaking with Kyle Rosenkranz, the executive director of the New Jersey Children's Foundation. Is it true that because of COVID and how students had to learn remotely, that parents became more engaged in their students' activity and welfare when it comes to education?
Oh, absolutely. And this year was the first year for most schools in Newark where all the kids were back in the building for most of the school year. And it's only then that you can really fully appreciate the profound opportunities and challenges that our young people are facing right now. I think that has emboldened parents to say, is this the school that works best for my child based on where they're at today? So there's more sort of interest in looking for a school, maybe finding that better fit. But there's also a lot of parents that are pushing back on the schools and saying, no, my child didn't get services during the remote periods, and demanding more. And so I think that energy is good on the system. That's pressuring the system to deliver what people are owed. And I see that as a positive right now, that people are paying closer attention.
Kyle, how about the pressure on kids these days to get to higher learning or to get to a school that, you know, that they hear is wonderful and can help them? Where do you stand on pressure and mental health of students who face so much during these times?
I've written about this. I think it's important that we urgently and comprehensively meet the social, emotional, and mental health needs of our young people right now. Everyone I talk to working in school buildings, particularly in high schools, has shared with me the experience and the challenges that our young people face, especially those thinking about what comes after high school. However, I think it's important as a matter of racial and economic justice that we do not lose sight of the things we know will build wealth in disenfranchised communities, one of which is sending kids to college and getting them college degrees. The pandemic taught us anything. It was white collar workers, those with college degrees, were less likely to lose their jobs or to lose income during this pandemic. And so I want that for newer kids as well. We must deliver the services. We have the funding for maybe the first time in my generation to even think about these kinds of things, but we cannot lose sight of college and well-paying careers for our young people. We have to do both.
So where can people find this online tool? Where do they have to go?
They should go to myschoolsnewark.org. And once you get there, it'll be front and center. There's a button you click. It says explore schools. And that for every parent, they can enter information about what type of school, what grade level their child is on, and to help them in finding the right school for them.
What would be the ultimate for you as far as this? You've talked about how eventually there could be a chat in the system. How many parents do you think can take advantage of this during a course of a week?
Well, we're just exiting a public beta period. And during that period, we had 45,000 unique visitors to the site. And that's before we even sort of announced this to the public. In my perfect world, and my vision for this, is that we're able to field an army of counselors that can provide concierge-type service to families and help them find the school that works best for their child and in a personalized service kind of way. The website and the app is great, and that'll serve thousands of families well. There'll be many families who really benefit from a more in-person, concierge-style support, and that's what we hope to build in over time. The big thing here is Newark is a growing city. The recent census data showed us as top of the heap in terms of population. Our schools are showing more and more kids. This is an asset to our city, this growth. And it's incumbent on decision makers and the community as to what we do in that kind of high growth environment. Are we providing more resources to help people navigate it for that growth to be really positive and equitable growth? This is one contribution to that collective effort, which is better information. But there's many other things a lot of us can be doing to contribute to the sort of good energy that's coming from a growing city.
New Jersey Children's Foundation launching My Schools Newark. And we've been speaking with the executive director of the foundation, Kyle Rosenkrantz. Kyle, congratulations on this new tool, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Doug. It was a pleasure.
From high schools to higher ed, Essex County College is making big strides in many areas. I had a chance to speak with the president of Essex County College, Dr. Augustine Bouache, to get some highlights. Dr. Augustine Bouache, who has been with the college for many years, but as far as president, he's been in charge since 2020. In July of 20, he took over as the reign of president. Great to see you.
Thank you very much for bringing me on board and also to take opportunity to share a few things about Essex County College. Over the last few months, we have all seen how COVID pandemic has threatened academic institution and many other institutions. A few things that we have learned, myself in particular, is to how to bring people together to solve problems, because this was a big issue to academics, and we needed to bring a group of people together, including our board of trustees, our faculty, our staff, involve our students in decision making. And that is one thing that helped us to survive. But few things that we've also learned, including how to be flexible with our students in terms of how we schedule classes, try to schedule classes in in-person mode and also online hybrid. Also, we've understood the need to communicate clearly and better to our students in times of crisis like the COVID period, because we needed to be there for one another. It is also important to highlight that based on what we went through, there is the need for us to invest in technology so that we can give access to individuals who may find it difficult to have computers, internet at home, and other devices they may need to succeed in their academic career. I can highlight many other things, but I want to share with you that Now, the biggest lesson is to know how to bring people together and support one another, especially our students.
One of the missions for Essex County College certainly is the wraparound services. And I know you pride yourself in providing access to a number of different individuals and almost like a second chance opportunity for many individuals too. Essex County College has been doing this for many years, but under your leadership now, I know this is a strong priority for you.
You're right. As you know, we talk about providing access to students, but I always highlight that even if you provide access to students and you don't ensure that they succeed, you haven't accomplished much. So I always talk about access to sources, which means that when we allow individuals to enter into our building, we provide all kinds of support to make sure they are successful in the programs they are interested in, and also be able to complete their degrees on time and either transfer to other four-year schools or also get jobs to provide for their families. During the COVID in particular, we paid much attention to providing special services such as one-on-one tutoring to support our students, providing specific advice to our students in their course and program schedule. We provided food pantry, which many of our students have benefited. We hired specific individual who is an expert in mental health just to support our students. It's amazing to highlight that during the COVID period, we realized that some of our students did not even have computers at home, internet at home. And we made sure we provided these devices and access to the needed resources that could help them.
I'm so glad you mentioned mental health because it has come up in so many discussions that I've had with students, whether it be at the high school or college level. It's been truly something that they have had to deal with. Before we talk about the great accomplishments of the athletic program at Essex County College, we hear more and more top athletes talk about dealing with mental health issues. Just your thoughts on the whole community when it comes to higher education and dealing with mental health. I know that that's, you mentioned it there. It is something that's very important, and we learned just how important during the pandemic.
Yes, you're right. The whole idea is, some people got sick themselves. Some people lost loved ones. Some people lost their jobs. Some people could not even pay for accommodation. There are a lot of things that happen at the same time. And as individuals, we can take one problem at a time. When you see multiple crises coming from all angles, you feel stress. Especially we share with individuals who lost loved ones who were taking care of them. If you're a student and unfortunately you lost somebody who was providing a food, accommodation, transportation, or financial support in some form, and you are in that situation, you tend to become overstressed. And these are some of the things that we took into consideration and decided that would provide the needed mental health support to help everybody.
You brought up athletics. The athletic programs have always been good at Essex County College, but you've had some great success in the areas of track and field, basketball, soccer. How about yourself, first of all? Did you participate in athletics in college?
I was part of the cross country. I love long distance running. And I still remember, even though I was not the top, but I was always doing my best to feel like, yes, I was involved in the college. So once I became part of this college, I love it so much because our students are top. Even during the pandemic, our students were doing the best they could to keep themselves in the right standing that they needed to be. And when the opportunity came for us to open for some meets, our students have overperformed. Just recently, they came from Kansas. They just competed in an indoor track games. And our students were among the top students. In fact, some of them came third at the national level, which is amazing. Prior to that, they had attended multiple meets at Mayrose where our student came first when they jumped onto the track for 4x4. So SS is everywhere. We always scream and shout, go Wolverines, because they are doing well. And it's not just only about tracks. I can highlight that Region 19, NJCWA, our women did very well. And one of our leading players came as among the first team. So SS is doing very well, and we keep supporting our students. But I just want to highlight that with the support of our county executive, we have had a very beautiful renovated gym, a brand new basketball court, which I will invite you to come and watch games there when the time comes.
That'll be fantastic. And of course, we're just ready to head into March Madness and the NCAA basketball tournament. But I know as the MC of the Newark Athletic Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, that Essex County is rich in history when it comes to sports and the athletes that come out of Essex County College and Essex County in itself are outstanding. And as you mentioned, top of the line. Essex County College continues to grow, and this new campus that's been developed. Can you talk about that?
You're right. As you know, this college has been here over 50 years, and obviously our buildings are getting older and older. And the main campus at Newark here, we've taken upon ourselves. We've done a quick assessment to see the areas we need to begin when it comes to renovation. When you come around, you see a lot of projects happening, reconstructing some bridges that we had here, changing our main doors, renovating our bathrooms, creating staff spaces, especially the faculty, renovating classrooms, providing the needed technology. As I said, we just renovated our gym, but not only the main campus. I just want to highlight that a West Essex campus, which used to be an elementary school, had been about 80 years, and it was old that we were spending too much money to even maintain it. But with the support of the county exec and also the governor, we have demolished the old building, and we're ready to roll and put up a new state-of-the-art building at the other side of the county. The goal is to have the environment that will promote teaching and learning and also enhance new programs that will provide jobs to our community.
What has been the most difficult challenge for you, Dr. Boracie, when it comes to being the president of Essex County College?
At this stage, the COVID has been the biggest one, of course, but one of the things too that as a college president you will need is to make sure that you have all the other financial support and the resources to do multiple things you plan to do. So these are the areas we are looking into because it's still related to the pandemic. A lot of people are not ready to go to college, and that's not what I want to see. I want to make sure that as we expand our infrastructure and renovate our infrastructure, we get the right people, we get the people the chance to come to school. So we are working to bring more students. And at this stage, if anybody's listening to me, Essex County College has rich programs that you can come and take advantage. We have the governor supporting us with some form of free education to individuals within certain range of annual income. We have financial aid support. So there are a lot of opportunities that I would not want to see it as a problem, but I want to see it as an opportunity for us to open the doors to increase our enrollment and our finances.
And congratulations on your run so far at Essex County College. Exciting times for you and for the college. And we appreciate your time here on the WBGO Journal.
Thank you very much, Doc, and hope to see you again.
You can hear my entire conversation with Essex County College President Dr. Augustine Buache at wbgo.org/journal. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us Saturday mornings at 5:30 for the first edition of the WBGO Journal, and then the second edition airs on Sunday at 6:30, right here on WBGO and WBGO.org.